Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in a snowy downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Greg Bach, Dan Schaefer is going to be here at 10:33. We will recombobulate with Dan Schaefer, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about the two referendums that are going to be on the April 2nd ballot. We've had a lot of questions about that. We are going to be talking to someone from the League of Women Voters. That's going to be next Tuesday. But Dan Schaefer coming up at 10:33, so stay close for that. Right now, though, you know what time it is?
What time is it, Jane?
We are riding into spring, Greg Bach.
Are we?
Yes, maybe not today.
Okay.
But it's our Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. And so this hour, you have a special word, and the word you want to text once you download the Civic Media app. So just go to your app store, download the Civic Media app.
Good.
And then you go to whatever station you're listening to across Wisconsin, whether it's Oshkosh or you're in Hayward or Richland Center or here in Waukesha, Racine. Go to your station and text this word. The word this hour is SCORE. S-C-O-R-E. The word is SCORE. So text that word in on the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. We have four winners a day, and then everybody who enters, including the winners, have a shot at one of two grand prizes, including brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat.
I want to win two of those three prizes.
You can't.
I know.
We can't win those. But,
I know.
But you can. You have until 11 o'clock to text the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, on the Civic Media app, and you will be in the running. You only have to do that once an hour. Your next chance will be in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba, and then the 3 p.m. hour with Maggie Dawn.
Just as a reiteration to those, because we just got one coming in, whomever texted from the 4141, you have to text through the Civic Media app to enter the contest.
Right.
And you have to get the right word. So the word is SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, SCORE.
What was the text?
Four, as in golf.
Not four.
Not
score.
Four, SCORE. We
four,
got
four score and 7 years ago.
It was snowing probably like this.
Speaking of WISN reporting, our snowfall totals as of 8 o'clock this morning, Waukesha already at 8 a.m. had 6.4 inches. Fort Atkinson with 6.3. Same at the Milwaukee Airport. Mitchell International, 6.3. Oconomowoc, 5.2. Jefferson, 5. West Bend, 5. Saukville, 5. Brookfield, 4.9. Germantown, 3. Plymouth, 2.5. Heartland, you just got a little kiss there in Heartland, 2 inches. So Waukesha is kind of in the lead right now. Yay us.
Did you say which Kenosha was? Kenosha, like, rain.
They did not list Kenosha. Because you said when you got up at 4, it wasn't that bad.
When I got up this morning, it was raining. There was a dusting. There's been some accumulation now. We just saw it on our Ring camera.
Right.
But nothing compared to what we have in Waukesha.
And we're not quite done yet. It's still coming down out here in Waukesha. And another reminder to you as well to check out that 511wi.gov site.
Yes.
It's really, really useful having it. Shows you every accident all across the state of Wisconsin. You can zoom in. You can look at the traffic cameras. You can see where all the closures are. I'm looking at the map right now. It's much better than it was when I first got in about 7:30 this morning. But still, there are a bunch of accidents around the Milwaukee area, Racine, Waukesha, also in Madison. The Madison area, rest of the state is not looking too bad as far as the roads go, but just be careful if you have to go out, get out, especially around southeastern Wisconsin. It was a mess this morning. It took me an hour. Oh,
it was absolutely terrible. And folks, 511wi.gov, Jane's looking at it on her computer right now. I'm looking at it on my phone because it is a handy dandy app as well. Free to use, of course. So get that into your pocket. It's very, very helpful. Yeah, when I came in this morning, I told you this. When I came in, Kenosha was, there was nothing happening in Kenosha. Racine was starting to pick up. Milwaukee, the plows were out and they hit the Beloit exit at 894 that leads you into Waukesha County, and they stopped and moved into the lanes over to go back into Milwaukee. I'm sure they're Milwaukee County, so that makes sense. But from that moment, to driving here, nothing was plowed, nothing was done. It was a disaster.
And you can't see any road lanes. You can't see the lane markers that way.
Nope. And I'm driving in backcountry roads to get here, and it was. I mean, you know, I'm driving 35 miles an hour in a 50, and people are right behind me. Like, you can
wait all day.
Yep, we'll get there eventually, folks.
Yep. All right, so please be careful as you are out and about today. Yes. The snow should be wrapping up, hopefully by what, 2 o'clock?
Around 2 o'clock, yes.
We will let you know if we see any major accidents or anything like that, if that pops up. We're going to start off, though, with our favorite House Speaker, Assembly Speaker, rather, Robin Voss.
Ah, Robin of Voss. Racine.
Robin of Racine.
Robin of Voss. First in his name.
yesterday, Robin Voss filed a recall signature challenge with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The challenge claims that although organizers of this recall effort against him submitted over 10,000 signatures, the commission itself had an initial finding that only about 6,000 of those came from the previous 63rd Assembly District under the old maps.
Yeah.
So Robin says the recall petitions were also plagued with fraud and criminality. As to the circulators, several have felony convictions. Names were forged on signature pages, including those of children. Addresses could not be verified, according to Robin Voss's attorney. Turning to the signers, hundreds of them signed multiple times, used illegible writing, or provided incomplete address information. His challenge says the entire recall effort must be rejected for legal reasons because the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the GOP voting maps as unconstitutional.
Hmm.
As a result, a recall cannot occur in the district that's listed on the petitions. And Robin says he remains proud to represent Racine County, and he's grateful the community, quote, continues to stand behind me and my record.
I mean, you find a way to use some maps to do this if it went through. I don't think it should be struck down completely because there are no maps. I think every single illegitimate name should be taken off of the recall forms, and then you count them again, and then you go from there. If they don't have enough, then the recall doesn't go through. But to add cherries and whipped cream onto all of this malarkey,
good word.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be thrown out for any other reason than it's not a credibly executed recall effort. So after that, no, you don't get to maps shouldn't be taken into consideration. If it goes through, then we figure out the maps, whether we use the new maps or we use the old maps, because that's where you elected. But come on, Robin.
The petitioners do have a chance to respond to these allegations. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has to eventually vote on whether or not to order the recall. This is the culmination of former President Trump and his supporters turning on Voss for allegedly not doing more to support the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen.
You know, I'm sure we'll talk about this before it's finally over, no matter the outcome. Are there any other statewide leaders in the country facing recalls because of their inability, quote unquote, to make the 2020 election, to nullify those votes?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there has certainly been a number of them who have been threatened and, you know, their family members threatened, terrible things.
Yes.
But I think Robin, he's a soul. He gets to claim this all for his own. It's just about you, Robin. And Calvin, if we have that little clip about how Robin Voss feels about the people who are trying to recall him, let's just have a little reminder of this.
The people who organize this are so out of touch with reality. And I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. They are morons. They are stupid.
These are Trump supporters.
Yeah.
That filed this recall petition.
Correct.
So is he referring to those people as morons and whack jobs?
And stupid, yes. Yes, he is.
Trump supporters.
Yes. Well, I'll bet you any amount of money if you put Robin in a room, he'd clarify that and say, not all Trump supporters, the ones who are a part of this movement. But I don't see a lot of these individuals. I mean, I don't know any liberals in that area. who are part of this effort. They're everyone's like, nope, this isn't my this
That's
is
all your baby.
This is your circus.
This is your baby.
Yeah.
Robin Voss has repeatedly called a recall a waste of time and resources. Well, if there's anything Robin knows, it is about wasting resources. We should probably take his word on that.
I mean, I totally agree with him on this one. I completely agree.
Let's not forget, Robin Voss spent $2 million of taxpayer money hiring Michael Gableman to go attend conferences with the MyPillow guy, traveling all over the place, never found any evidence of election fraud. Sorry.
Went on record many times saying the 2020 election was safe, fair, and decided.
Quote, the people who organized this are so out of touch with reality, Robin Voss says. These people do not deserve the respect that anybody gave them. The Challenge says one woman from Burlington said she was approached by two men in a parking lot who asked her if she'd sign a petition supporting women's rights.
Wow.
The men prevented her from getting into her vehicle and told her she couldn't get in unless she signed the petition.
Oh, I want those two men arrested.
That seems illegal.
Yeah, that seems like coercion. That seems like something should be investigated by a police officer.
An affidavit from another man from Burlington alleges, quote, he witnessed a recall circulator telling bar patrons he was collecting signatures to allow Donald Trump to appear on the presidential ballot. It is a felony for a circulator to fraudulently procure signatures by misrepresenting the nature of the recall petition.
I mean,
And just on the flip side, I have gotten some emails from some of the people involved, maybe peripherally, with this recall election. And now they're calling Robin Voss Robin CCP Voss. Because now he's apparently aligned with the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, man. That's so funny. That's so, so funny. That's so dumb. So dumb.
Oh, whack jobs and morons. All right. Yes. They are coming for it. They're coming for your Social Security. We'll kick that around next. Stay close. You're watching and listening to Matt Mayer on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Yeah. Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text, join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. Just a reminder, it is our text into spring statewide contest. You have until 11 o'clock this hour to text the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Text the word SCORE from the Civic Media app. Go to whatever station you're listening to across the state, WISS, for example, and then text the word SCORE to that, and you will be entered in the contest. Could win an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort and then be in the running for one of two grand prizes, including new bicycles and a fancy schmancy blender.
Or an oven.
Nice things.
Oh, it's a three and a.
It's a 3-in-1 blender.
A 3-in-1
blender. And then an outdoor patio love seat. So you have until 11 o'clock to text that in. S-C-O-R-E is the word for this hour. Yeah, they're coming for your Social Security. The budget released Wednesday by the Republican Study Committee that includes more than 170 House GOP lawmakers. And I believe I heard Pat Kreitlow single out our Wisconsin lawmakers, including Tom Tiffany, mm-hmm. Brian Stile.
Yes.
Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes.
And I'm forgetting one.
Was it Van Orden?
Oh, no, I don't think it was Van Orden.
It wasn't
Van Orden.
Who's one?
Grothman.
Grothman. It was Grothman.
It was Grothman.
It was Grothman.
So they are part of this group who want to essentially, again, they're going to cut Social Security. The budget endorses a bunch of bills which are designed to advance the cause of life. This includes the Life at Conception Act, which will aggressively restrict abortion and potentially threaten in vitro fertilization. So again, when they say that they're not going to do that, yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. For Social Security, the budget endorses modest adjustments to the retirement age for future retirees to account for increases in life expectancy. It calls for lowering benefits for the highest earning beneficiaries. And it emphasizes these are not designed to take effect immediately. Well, of course not, because they want to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
The RSC budget does not cut or delay retirement benefits for any senior in or near retirement. Just, again, jumping our Wayback Machine to the State of the Union address, which was all of, what, 2 weeks ago? Two or 3 weeks ago. And President Biden mentioned this during his State of the Union address. Calvin, let's hear that clip.
Tonight, let's all agree once again to stand up for seniors. Many of my friends on the other side of the aisle want to put Social Security on the chopping block. If anyone here tries to cut Social Security, Medicare, or raise the retirement age, I will stop you. The working people who built this country pay more into Social Security than millionaires and billionaires do. It's not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealth. That's good to hear. I'll protect and strengthen Social Security and make the wealthy pay their fair share.
Yeah, and just a reminder that as I was downloading this clip this morning, as he said, Republicans are coming for, you know, your Social Security, and they're all in there shaking their heads. No, 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 we're not going to do that. Yeah, 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 yeah. You are, and you've always wanted to.
The back of their heads, they were like, how do you know? You know, really quick, we're protecting seniors, but don't forget people my age in their 40s.
Yep.
I want to protect me too. I said it before. I've been paying into Social Security since I was 12.
And if you're a Medicare recipient, this should also concern you. This new budget calls for converting Medicare to a premium support model, which is something that former Speaker Paul Ryan was a big champion of. Under this new plan by, again, the 170 House Republicans, the Republican Study Committee, under the new plan, traditional Medicare would compete with private plans, and beneficiaries would be given subsidies to shop for the policies of their choice. I don't know a great deal about this. That sounds like a really bad idea to me.
Yeah. It goes along like the whole health savings account. We put it in your hands.
Right.
We take it. We're done with it. We're going to put it in your hands. So it's your fault if it fails. No, this was a commitment. This was a promise from the government from nearly 100 years ago. Now we're going on. It's like 80 plus years. We've been paying into it. That's my money.
Yes.
And I'm owed it. It's not an entitlement. It's my investment. And if it's gone, let me know what lawyer I can hire to sue the government for wasting my money.
Even MAGA Republican Josh Hawley of Missouri said, quote, "What a terrible idea. If Republicans want to be in the minority party forever, then go ahead and endorse that. Republicans are so stupid. If they want to go to working people and say, congratulations, you have paid into this your whole life, your payroll taxes, and now we're going to take part of it away from you. We're going to make you work even longer than we said beforehand." Again, this is Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri. I just think it's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
What? Why is it that Republican senators seem to get it more than congressmen? Like, congressmen tend to do these things that seem very short-sighted, that seem very
not well thought of,
like get-rich-quick schemes. Like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then the senators in the same party are like, what are you doing, you dumb-dumb babies?
The other thing this targets is the Affordable Care Act.
Of course.
And they've been wanting to kill that since it passed. And again, memory lane, my friends. Donald Trump promised we're going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to kill it and replace it with something so much better. So much better. And it never happened.
Never happened. It's coming.
Just like the infrastructure plan.
Yep, it's coming.
That was always 2 weeks away.
I wonder if Trump is still being audited, too.
That's a really good question.
He's always being audited.
Well, and that's why he could never release his taxes.
Exactly. You know, audited people.
If you ever want to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Again, the word to text in to your station via the Civic Media app this hour is SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate right after the news. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Kiss you and keep you satisfied. There's anything that you want. If there's anything I can do, just call on me and I'll send it along with love from me to you. From me to you, just call on me and I'll send it along with love. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always join the conversation. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined, as he does every Friday at this time. We are joined by the award-winning author of The Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing? How's the snow situation in downtown Milwaukee?
Yeah. Good morning, Jane. Always happy to be with you. Just shoveled out. Didn't get up early to do it. Just decided to take the day as it comes. And my daughter is snowed in from her daycare today, so she helped me shovel out too. So there we go.
How old is your daughter?
The youngest is with me. She's three.
She's three. So, I'm sure she was an enormous help to Daddy.
She did most of the work. Yeah, that's right.
Your most recent column on the recombobulation area, and we've had a lot of questions about this, Dan, and I'm glad you're here to talk about this. We're also going to have someone here next week on Tuesday from the League of Women Voters. But there's a lot of questions about these two referendum that are going to be on the April 2nd ballot and what this means and why they want to do this and what this would do. So which one would you like to start with?
Yeah, we can start with the first one. I think the first one is the one that, you know, I had most of my focus in the column that I wrote on the recombobulation at the recombobulation area about this. But the question being asked on these ballot referendum questions that would amend the state constitution. So I think that needs to be made a little bit more clear in this process. These are not just like a thumbs up or thumbs down on a certain policy or whatever. These would amend the state constitution. So the first question has to deal with the use of private funds, quote unquote, private funds in election administration. And I think on the surface, you know, it might be a question that people might say yes to. It said, we don't want to have private funds in an election administration. We should commit public dollars to this. But once you examine the context of all of this and examine the larger issue, it's pretty clear that this is just an effort by the state Republican Party to appease election deniers who have glommed on to this conspiracy theory that they call Zuckerbucks. About the 2020 presidential election And I really don't think we should be amending the state constitution to appease people who are obsessed with something called Zuckerbucks. And so as I the way I kind of characterize this in my piece is that this is good in theory, bad in practice, and worse in process. And so in theory, it's good to ban election ban private dollars. I think I might even agree with that, but I don't think the way that this has happened is the right way to do things. So a couple of years ago, in the wake of 2020, Republicans passed this bill that would do the same, that it would ban, you know, quote unquote, private funds for election administration. And this was after in 2020, a nonprofit organization that was funded by Mark Zuckerberg right. and his wife sent a bunch of dollars to local governments across the state, more than 38, more than 35 counties in the state of Wisconsin participated in this. More than 100 municipalities participated in this. But because the majority of the dollars went to, you know, the highest population cities in the state of Wisconsin, Republicans said, oh, these are just like Democrat turnout, whatever nonsense to impact the election results. And as we've known, all of these 2020, like all of these 2020 conspiracy theories, they are nonsense and been endlessly debunked. Republicans tried to ban this in a bill. The bill got no Democratic support and it was vetoed by Governor Evers. So instead of, you know, going back to the drawing board
Now they're just going to go around it, right?
Right. Like so instead of trying to do this in a bipartisan way, what they did was use, you know, a mechanism in the state constitution that allows for these ballot questions. So they passed this measure in successive legislative sessions and put it on the ballot for the spring election, thinking that this might be a competitive presidential election primary and you'd get more Republican voters to the polls, activate that base that is so obsessed with the 2020 presidential election, and use this to amend the Constitution, which is a pretty ridiculous way to operate. You know, one of the people that I quoted talking to in this story was saying that, you know, the legislature should not be in the practice of amending the Constitution every time they can't pass a bill. That's a quote from Sam Liebert, the state director for All Voting is Local. And I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. You know, this is a really bad referendum question, and it's just sets a really bad precedent for how we govern in the state of Wisconsin.
Dan Schaefer is our guest from the Recombobulation area, and we're talking about the two referendum that are going to be showing up on the ballot if you live in Wisconsin on April 2nd. And the first one is about this use of private funds to administer elections. Dan, can we talk more specifically about what that money was used for? I mean, were they just going out and buying people? What is the big accusation here?
Yeah, I mean, the main use of these funds from the nonprofit organization funded by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, they went to help local municipalities administer the election during the COVID-19 pandemic. So this meant things like PPE and any extra things that we had. You know, think back to 2020, there were so many different things that we needed to run an election a little bit differently than we had in the past. We were not always very safe to go out at the, you know,
you make a really good point though, Dan, because I think people forget a lot of poll workers elected not to work that election because so many of them were elderly with their health right. at risk.
Right. Right. And this is, you know, and so I think, you know, could we have taken action in the state of Wisconsin to properly publicly fund these elections? Yeah, that's what we should have done in 2020. But you know what? Our state legislators took 300 days from doing anything, so we didn't get any reforms passed that could have actually helped election workers. And that's part of why this is bad in process too. Because let's say this passes, and this is a very confusingly worded, question. And I think that's intentional. And I think like last year when there were similarly confusing referendum questions on the spring election ballot advanced by Republicans, you know, even though Jana Protasiewicz won a double-digit victory, these ballot referendums that were advanced by Republicans also passed with pretty overwhelming majorities. And so if this passes, local governments that administer elections in the state of Wisconsin, they don't get any extra funding to do this. So, you know, they may have been relying on the funding from nonprofits, and you know, every nonprofit has to abide by the state of the laws of the state of Wisconsin, or else they're going to be prosecuted. And that's what has been endlessly proven to be what has happened. So, you know, I think this is also bad in practice too, because if you remove this without taking action, simultaneous action to publicly fund election administration, you're going to have additional problems with that. And so it's going to take longer for poll workers to process those ballots. And we're going to get even deeper into the night, you know, to get those results from various municipalities around the state. It's such a bad process for this, in addition to being, you know, something confusing and just not going through the traditional channels to make this actual change.
You know, one of the things with regard to that bill about counting votes early, I mentioned it before that, you know, on election night, there's going to be all these people saying, why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? I can't wait for someone or everyone or all the news people to say, we had the chance.
Yes.
They didn't do it. It passed in the assembly and then it stopped in the Senate for whatever reason. Yeah. And now here we are.
Well, it sort of makes one feel like they don't really want a whole bunch of people to vote. Seems counterintuitive for a Democratic Republic. I just, you know, that just makes one question things a little bit.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know about you, but I tend to I think democracy is good and more people should vote.
I'm a fan.
I think we're all kind of fans here on the democracy train. So the second question, election officials, shall Section 7-2 of Article 3 be created to provide that only election officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums? What does that mean?
Yeah, so this centers around another election, 2020 election conspiracy theory advanced by Republicans. Again, we should not be using 2020 election conspiracy theories to rewrite our state constitution.
I would go and say we should use no conspiracy theories.
Maybe. Yeah, Greg. So this is a conspiracy theory having to do with a consultant in Green Bay that worked with that nonprofit that was funded by the Zuckerberg family. And he was, you know, there are additional reviews and reports and analysis or whatever has shown that the city of Green Bay, where this consultant was working, handled their election properly. You know, it's just yet another on the list of ridiculous 2020 things. But this would really open up. There was a good piece from a publication called Bolts online that looks into a lot of, you know, nuts and bolts of election and democracy work happening across the country. But I think this would really open up for a lot of lawsuits and a lot of changes. And I think, again, it's part of the same thing. We should vote no on both of these ballot referendum questions, because we should not be amending our state constitution to appease election deniers. If there is a path to making a change here, and look, I might agree with you saying that we should get private dollars out of election administration, but the way to do that is in the legislature. And the way to do that is by passing a bill. And the way to do that is by passing a bipartisan bill.
So that's not going to happen.
Well, it could. I mean, flip the assembly this fall. Maybe we could, you know, have a different environment in the state legislature for, you know, for overall passing of legislation. I think we can have these conversations. They were able to get a bipartisan bill passed in the assembly to get the, you know, the absentee ballot count changed. I think we could, you know, we could take steps forward with this too.
Yeah. Calvin, do we still have that clip of Robin Voss available? I just want to remind folks exactly what Robin Voss thinks about people who believe that the 2020 election was stolen, just as a little reminder.
The people who organize this are so out of touch with reality. And I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. They are morons. They are stupid.
But the way he says stupid.
Stupid, but he loves you. And just, he needs your vote. So anyway,
They are stupid.
I think too, and as you said too, Dan, and I absolutely agree with you, these referendum, when they're intentionally murky, they are intentionally written to be confusing or worded so that people will be voting against their own best interest. There's got to be a special group of people who sits down and writes these things.
Lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
A special kind of lawyer, though, who can sit down and say, how can we write this so it's as confusing as humanly possible?
Yeah, I'm sure there are lawyers from certain institutes involved in the crafting of this.
I could hazard a guess. I think I'll, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We're going to talk a little basketball when we return. I do want to remind you, you have until 11 o'clock to download the Civic Media app. Go to your app store, download the Civic Media app, and then go to whatever station you're listening to across the state, whether you're in Hayward or Oshkosh or Richland Center or Amory. And then you text to that station the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Text the word SCORE, and you are in the running for an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody who wins and everybody who enters has a shot at one of our two grand prizes, including new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. Text the word SCORE via the Civic Media app by 11 o'clock, S-C-O-R-E. Stay close. Dan Schaefer will continue recombobulating on Matt and Air on Air. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the board lord Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're joined every Friday at this time with Dan Schaefer and the recombobulation area. We were talking a little bit earlier about the two referendum on the April 2nd ballot. And Dan, you were saying that we should vote no on both of those.
Vote no on both. Read the piece at the recombobulation area to get all of my thoughts about why, but they're going to be important elections up and down the ballot in every community across the state of Wisconsin, and there are going to be important conversations to be had about all of those. But this is one that is going to be on the ballot statewide. So no matter where you are listening from across the state of Wisconsin, these two referendum questions will be on your ballot. So vote no. Don't appease election deniers by amending the state constitution. Just vote no. Let's get this done in the legislature next session.
As Robin Voss himself says, they're morons and they're stupid.
They're stupid.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk a little basketball. And Pewaukee grad Jack Golke.
Pewaukee grad Jack, the unlikely hero of the first day of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which kicked off yesterday. Jack Golke, fellow Pewaukee grad. So I don't know how many of your listeners know this. I went to Pewaukee High School. And so a guy who I definitely heard of before yesterday is now our hero, our hometown hero. Made 10 threes, scored 32 points to help lead Oakland University to upset number 3 seed Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. What a rumor. I don't always watch that much college basketball anymore. I'm a huge NBA fan, as you all know. But this is why the tournament is great, because you get dudes like Jack Golke who will go out and just rain threes on future NBA talents in the University of Kentucky and can lead that upset. What a moment.
It was quite delightful, actually, to see Kentucky fall, because they're always way up there, which is always annoying, at least to me. And the school that Golke goes to that's not a powerhouse, is it?
No, I think it's their, I think it might be the first NCAA tournament win in the school's history.
Oh, wow.
For Oakland, which is not.
I like the way you keep saying for Oakland.
Yeah, for Oakland, which is not the, not Bay Area Oakland. This is a school based in Michigan. It's in the same conference as the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So
go Panthers.
This is go Panthers. That's right. But this is pretty cool. There's actually two Pewaukee grads playing in the NCAA men's tournament this year. There's also a player playing for Iowa State as well. So it's quite the moment for my alma mater. The high school group chats were blowing up last night when Golki was raining threes, and now he's never going to have to pay for a meal at the 5 o'clock club again. You know, he's gonna be selling houses in Deer Haven based on this. This game will pay for a pontoon boat on Pewaukee Lake.
Do you know how fast you were? Do you know how fast you were going? Do you know who I am?
it's interesting though how we glom onto that shared glory. It's like, yeah, I went to school with him. I'm the one who shot those shots. Yeah. I know, aren't I great? That's right. I'm so great.
That's right. I graduated, more than 10 years before this guy was ever in high school, but fellow Pewaukee grad.
It's your glory too. It's your glory too, Dan Schaefer. Absolutely. Speaking of basketball, tonight, Wisconsin versus James Madison. And that's going to be at 7:30. You can catch the game on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and also news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center. That game is tonight, Wisconsin against James Madison, starts at 7:30.
We got a live stream comment here from Scott from St. Louis. He said, a friend of mine who works for Adobe made two brackets a few years ago, one based on stats, one based on logo design. Stat bracket with 40th percentile, logo bracket was 90th. Wow. And as they said, as we found out earlier this week, to pick a perfect bracket, you have a 1 in 9.2 quadrillion chance.
You know, there was one year, my wife doesn't watch much college basketball. I had her fill out a bracket one year, and she decided her strategy was to pick all of the states that are not states. So it was like Kent State or whatever, you know.
Oh,
like
okay.
Yeah, yeah. All of us. She's like, I like that. So, and for whatever reason, like a bunch of those teams won, and then she was in like the top 1% of brackets on ESPN that year because of her state strategy. So you can watch all of the college basketball you possibly can, but that's what's great about the tournament. You know, it can anything can happen.
And Tony Lone Tree on the live stream also says, don't forget Marquette. You're right, Tony. Thank you. Marquette plays today at 1 p.m. So. Yeah. And Tony thinks Marquette's going to go farther than the Badgers.
That's what I'm hearing. People are. There's not a lot of expectation from the Badgers. They feel like they're going to go like maybe the next
so far and then
yeah,
it.
And then they'll be done because you know they before they got to the tournament they were losing pretty hard.
They had a good run in the Big Ten tournament though. Yeah. They had that win over Purdue, right? Eric Hovde's favorite team, Purdue. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Let's talk about that.
You guys talked about this yesterday?
No, we didn't get around to it. I know Pat Kreitler talked about it this morning. What an interesting thing for Eric Hovde to do. He's running against Senator Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, and he picks Purdue, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Purdue, I think he picked Purdue to beat Wisconsin.
It's right? Almost like Eric Hovde doesn't get it or Wisconsin.
Well, and it's just like I thought saw some people playing it off. Oh, it's like, oh, he knows college basketball. So he's a real fan. So he's not just pandering. It's just, I don't know.
No, you pander. This is where you pander.
Yeah, this is, it's just, I don't know. But you know who actually did really well in the bracket as a politician bracket? You know who picked Oakland to beat Kentucky?
Who?
Kamala Harris.
Did she really?
She's just walking around. She's walking around the East Wing right now going, that's right.
Yeah. See, she gets to celebrate that one today.
What?
See if Kamala does better than Eric Hovde.
I do find it interesting that people are applauding Eric Hovde for his knowledge of basketball. I mean, okay, great. He knows how to make picks. Let's elect him.
Yeah.
And what could go wrong? That's the perfect basis for choosing someone to represent you in Washington.
Yeah. And I don't know that much about college basketball, but I know enough to know that Purdue has just like is like the most grating team to watch in the Big Ten. And they just have like one giant 7-footer who gets fouled all the time. And the only way they can win is by kind of bending the rules in their favor, which maybe makes sense for a Republican to pick them to win.
Dang. On that note,
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. It's award-winning. It's wonderful. And it's a steal. Thank you so much, Dan. We will see you next Friday. Stay with us. News is next, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.